I want us to take our Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And we'll read down through verse 31 this morning. And I trust you will be in prayer for a young man who was here this last week. He was prayed for in the deacon's prayer this morning. And for his wife, who is in hospice care and is agnostic. And it's a great trial in this young man's life. But we know that we have a God who is able to work in hearts. And so I trust you'll pray for his wife especially, that you will give her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. What the chief priests and the elders had said, they said, "We do not want you to preach in the name of Jesus Christ again." And Peter and John had made it pretty clear why they were preaching in the name of Jesus Christ and what they had done to oppose Jesus Christ and to also be responsible for the guilt of his death, the chief priests and the elders. It says, "And when they heard they... And when they heard that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord," in verse 24, "and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are the one that we look to and that we can have confidence in the face of opposition. Father, we thank you that you are able to supply the grace as we heard sung this morning. And we're thankful that that grace is endless and that you said in the book of James, you give more grace just at the time needed. And so, Lord, we thank you for those special blessings. We thank you for so great salvation. And we would pray this morning, Father, that Amy would put her trust in you. Father, that she would remember the testimony that has been given to her. And that even though she believes that there is perhaps, we know that we need a personal relationship with you that calls upon you. And so I pray that she might do that. I pray as well that if it be your will, that you would heal her body and give her the faith to trust you along the way for whatever may come that way. Father, we would pray this morning that you might as well continue to help Fred in and give him the strength that he needs as he goes through this battle. And Father, we pray that you might help Jan as well. We thank you that she could be with us this morning. Help her as she assists him. Father, we thank you for bringing our brother-in-law through a week in the hospital and that he was able to survive that week. And that there is some hope for him as well again, but we know that he is in your hands. Father, we would just pray that you might be with our church as we move forward, that your will would be accomplished in each of our lives, and that as a people of God, we would be faithful to pray, faithful to exalt your name for what you do in our midst. And Father, we thank you for the blessings that we've received this week. And Lord, we just pray that you would open more hearts to your truth. But Father, we thank you that you are the Creator. Father, that you are the one who is able to as well to calm the opposition and to enable us to be bold for you in the face of opposition. Father, thank you now for what you will accomplish as your word speaks to our heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship and exaltation of the triune God certainly go together. Prayer rightfully begins with the adoration of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In our text today, the early church was praying as a result of threatening of the chief priests in council and gathered in Jerusalem that forbade them to speak to anyone about the name of Jesus. Those were threatening Peter and John, and the early church were guilty of ordering the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. There are many voices today seeking to silence the voice of the Bible-believing churches bearing the message of Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. Certainly, we need to pray like they did, that the word of God, the message, would go out in spite of all of the persecution and opposition today as well. Did not our Lord and did not our apostles exhort us that persecution would come? And that we must remain godly in an ungodly world? Yes, he did. And as such, certainly the early church did not react to the kind of opposition, in kind to the opposition, but gave them the message of salvation. If you go back to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, as Peter and John were, as it were, speaking to these people that were opposing them, they said a very clear salvation verse: neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby what? We must be saved. And so that message had been given out to them. And so that was one thing they did as they faced opposition. They were not ashamed to give out the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then, secondly, they prayed. And, I just can't imagine being in that prayer meeting. And here are people who have just, as it were, almost faced the firing squad. This could have been the end of their life for standing up for Jesus Christ. And yet they boldly proclaimed it, and God spared their life, and they continued to proclaim his name clearly. Concerning salvation, and exalted his name, certainly in their prayer life as well. Their confidence was in God, and they feared not men who feigned religion, but hated the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, this all started when Peter and John went up to the temple, as it were, to worship, but they also went up there to pray at the hour of prayer. And as a result of that, God brought across their path a man who had been, as it were, paralyzed for 40 years, the Bible says. And he was healed by God. He rose up and he walked. And they were not happy about that. But let me tell you, when God does a wonderful work in somebody's heart, other people notice. Amen? when God changes people, other people will take note of his power. And here was the Lord Jesus Christ being exalted. And certainly, as it says in verse 22, this man was 40 years old on whom the miracle was healing was showed. But they come back and they report of the threatenings that are taking place. And they immediately, with one accord, go to prayer. And they ask God to intervene in these matters, but also to exalt their God. And I think it is so important in our prayer life that we get a hold of this as a church. That we exalt Jesus Christ. That we exalt the Father. That we exalt the Holy Spirit. And what they can do. And especially when we think about the trials, the opposition that a person may take. And so they began, I believe, in verse 24 with God the Father. And they say, and then when they had heard this, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is. I believe they, first of all, they exalted God the Father as a creator. Are you thankful that God is a creator of all things this morning? There's a lot of people out there that don't believe that. There are people that have been persuaded to think that even as Christians that God had to use a little evolution along the way and get a little help. That's not my God, folks. I'll never forget standing before in a junior high class in the Netherlands. I was invited to what was called religion class to speak in my son's religion class. And I was questioned by a young man in the class as to why I wasn't talking about evolution. And I said in my reply, it is because my God is not as little as the evolutionist. My God is a great and powerful and big God. Amen? There is a difference. And we ought to exalt Him as the one who is all powerful. But even before that, I think we need to get in the scriptures, as these people were so mindful of going back to the books of the Old Testament and Genesis 1:1. What does it say? In the beginning, God. God was before creation, and He was the one witness that was there at creation. And certainly, in the beginning, God means that God was not bound by time. Certainly, He was before time as well. That means the Creator is eternal. Do we praise God for the fact that He is eternal? I believe that if we lifted up our hearts in one accord with the fact that God is eternal, we would look at our time-bound circumstances a whole lot different. Amen? These things are passing. I was reading Pastor Friel in the feature the other night, and about the kingdom that is coming, and I said to my wife, this is going to be such a little microcosm, just a little thing what we're going through right now compared to being with Jesus Christ in the kingdom for 1,000 years in a world that He has total control of, and nothing will oppose Him. He will rule with a rod of iron. I'll tell you what, makes our opposition and our trials look pretty small, doesn't it? That's 1,000 years. But you know what 1,000 years is? 1,000 years is only the beginning of the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. My, I believe we need to exalt our eternal God. Certainly, too often, we complicate our lives by seeing life by just the moment of crisis rather than realizing that there is a God that has no beginning and no ending. Believers ought to trust God who is eternal rather than worrying in the current crisis in their lives. The early believers were so mindful of the resurrection that they knew that God was not terminal. Amen? He was eternal. Can we get that straight, folks? Let's try that. God, let's do it together. God is eternal, not terminal. Okay? This mark that down in our minds, our hearts, and in a book somewhere that we remember those things when we're in a crisis. At the same time, they were aware that the time given to them was to be used to allow Jesus Christ to live through them. May we never forget who our God is as the Eternal One. I believe they exalted Jesus Christ not only in the fact that he was the eternal creator, but also that he was omnipotent or all-powerful. He created all that we see in this world in 6 24-hour days. There's been some Baptists even in circles that have come up with the idea that maybe God needed a little more time for that. No. Our God is a big God. Amen? Can he do it in 6 days? In 24 hours? He could have done it in one day if he wanted to. But that was his plan. And you know what? If he'd done it in one day, things might have gotten a little mixed up. But he did it in all the right order, so that things would work out well. Does God do all things well as the omnipotent God? Yes, he does. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand the worlds that were framed by the word of God, and so that the things that are seen are not made of the things that do appear. Genesis 1 repeatedly says, and God said, and instantly things appeared that did not previously exist. This ought to bring us to an understanding that creation was not by the formation of previously existing materials. And creation happened by the word of an all-powerful God. Since God is omnipotent, there is nothing too hard for him to do in us, for us, and through us. Well, we learn that God is able to say the word, and it happens, but on his time and in his order and according to his will. Once we recognize who our God is and his power, we as finite creatures ought to have complete confidence in him and rest in his peace, because he is all powerful. The Creator is also in charge of all things that are in creation, all that is in the heaven, the earth, and the sea. These disciples, they had been walking with Jesus Christ for 3 years. 3 years, folks. Let's have a few flashbacks with these disciples as they're praying, okay? They had seen the Creator in action. It was marvelous. The disciples had seen Jesus pray and his Father, and instantly quiet the wind and the waves. I don't know if any of you have ever been out on a boat or a ship, and the waves are about 30 feet high, and the sailors are feeding the fish. And then all of a sudden you make it inside the breakers in the harbor, and it's calm. What a relief. But Jesus did it in the midst of the storm. And he did it after he prayed up on the mountain for his disciples. Do you think these disciples caught a little bit of something here? That if Jesus prayed and these things happened, maybe they ought to be praying at this moment. The disciples had seen Jesus pray and call forth Lazarus out of the grave. Wow. The disciples had seen Jesus give thanks and feed 5,000 men and their families, probably over 15,000, with just a little handful of a boy's lunch. He multiplied it. The disciples had been taught to pray when they confronted head-on great obstacles and challenges by Jesus Christ, prayer life, over and over and over again. He was looking up to the God in heaven, the Father, who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Creator certainly is one whom we ought to put our faith in, that He is one who has been tested and proven true and faithful in every care of our lives. Isn't it wonderful to know we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us? Just get out John 15 and read about it sometime. Number two, I believe that we ought to exalt God the Son as the only Savior and sovereign Lord who controls all things for His glory in verses 25 to 28. They recite scripture in their prayer. Boy, you know, we ought to be people who pray according to scripture. It says here in verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Wow. The early church related to King David's evaluation of a world raging against God. David had met opposition from several fronts. As a shepherd boy, he met a lion and a bear, and he even met some brothers that weren't too happy with him. But he kept going. He would say, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I'm just part of the flock and God is caring for me. David had met opposition on the battlefield with Goliath. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45, he says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David met opposition, internal opposition as well. King Saul, even though David was king-elect, and Saul had been rejected, Saul made many attempts on the life of David. David had the opportunity to take Saul's life twice, but he showed mercy, waiting on the Lord's plan for his life. After sparing Saul twice, Saul said, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Does our Lord know how to quiet the opposition? Absolutely. Saul committed suicide in the battle with the Philistines, and God placed David on the throne in Saul's place. In 1 Samuel chapter 31 and 2 Samuel, no wonder David said in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? In the end, the Lord always turns the tables on the opposition. Can you imagine the world raging in the tribulation and gathered around saying, now we are going to do away with this Jerusalem people and their God? And Jesus steps out of heaven in one word and the opposition folds. Completely wiped out. The early church had seen the enemies of the Lord Jesus defeated on multiple occasions. It's interesting, not only do they go to the scriptures, but they began to remember some recent history of things that God had done with His Son as He faced opposition. It says, the kings of the earth stood up in verse 26 and were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Certainly the enemies, Herod mocked and tortured Jesus with his men of war, but failed to provoke Jesus to do a miracle. In Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12, Pilate, bowing to the crowd, ordered the crucifixion of the innocent Jesus and washed his hands. But the guilt was still on Pilate's hands. Certainly, we find that in Luke chapter 23, verse 24. The Gentile Roman soldiers crucified Jesus, but the centurion said, what? Truly, this was the Son of God. After observing Christ dying on the cross in Matthew 27, verse 54. The Jews, the chief priests, the elders, the Sanhedrin, they too had had their part in opposing Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Each one of this gang of four, Herod, Pilate, the Gentiles, and the Jews, bore full witness for their full responsibility for their actions, but unwittingly fulfilled God's plan. All of this terrifying use of force against the Lamb of God only fulfilled the mission of Jesus Christ to become the Savior and the sin bearer of the whole world. Wicked acts of unbelieving men will not thwart the plan of God and his ultimate victory of those who exclude his Son, Jesus Christ, from their lives. We find in verse 28, whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Herod excluded Christ because he did not see a miracle. Pilate excluded Christ because of the pressure of the crowd. The Gentiles excluded Christ because of their love of power. And the Jews excluded Christ because of their hardened religious hearts. All of those who exclude Christ by rejecting him will face another exclusion someday, and it's a place called heaven. And they will depart. Even as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, depart ye from me. And certainly that is going to happen to those that exclude Jesus Christ. They would depart to a lake of fire for eternity. It is tragic to be in the presence of Jesus Christ and fail to trust him as their Savior by faith, and to understand in the end he is the sovereign ruler of the universe. Someday all will bow the knee to Jesus, but only as their judge, not their Savior. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, I believe that our prayer life needs to exalt Jesus Christ, not only as the Savior of the world, but as the sovereign ruler and the final supreme judge. Now is the day to cry out to Jesus Christ for his mercy and his grace. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. If your heart was to stop the next second, our brother-in-law this week was told at the beginning of last week that his right heart was not functioning. In fact, they found out that almost 90% of his heart was not functioning. But they finally decided that they would do an angiogram, and in the angiogram they put a stent in there, and his heart is beating this morning. A lot of prayer went into that. But also, God in His mercy and His grace. Certainly, if your heart was to stop the next second, would you be ready to meet God as your Savior? Have you received Him? Have you called upon Him, invited Him into your heart? If not, today is the opportunity to call on the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. I believe, thirdly, they exalted the Spirit of God in their lives. And the Bible says in verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Certainly they were filled with the Holy Spirit as they prayed. As they prayed, exalting God the Father, God the Son. They were brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. I believe the early church remained committed to Christ no matter how fierce the opposition treated them, and they knew they had one who was living within them, and that they were not alone. The Holy Spirit was there. I have been listening to a preacher that was selling a book on loneliness. Folks, I would just as soon have the person of the Holy Spirit with me to satisfy my loneliness, wouldn't you? Certainly notice how the early church certainly was not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but they used the Spirit of God to help them and enable them to speak with boldness the Word of God. They were without fear. They were bold. Well, many times we become fearful of people when we ought to be fearful of God. And we need to speak out for Him. John Bunyan was born in Bedford, England in 1628. As a young man, he spent 2 years in the army. And fortunately, he married the right person. Guys, if you have married the right person, be grateful. That is a huge, huge blessing. That's a gift from God. And certainly, he married a godly woman when he was an ungodly man. And she brought him to saving faith in Jesus Christ. In 1655, following his acceptance of Christ as Savior, he was baptized in the Bedford Baptist Church. He then began preaching without license, and was thrown in jail just 5 years later in 1660. Bunyan's young wife and blind daughter suffered much due to the economic hardship of John's imprisonment. The authorities offered to release John if he would promise not to preach, just be silent, just like they were doing here in Acts chapter 4. And you know what John's reply was, word for word? "If you free me today, tomorrow, I'll speak on the streets that all men have the right to worship God as their conscience guides them, and that the state has no right to tell them how to worship." And through an act of pardon in 1672, he was released, but rearrested and put in prison again in 1675, only this time for just a few months. During this second jail term, what did John Bunyan do but write Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim's Progress has been translated into 100 languages and is read around the world today. Certainly, God is the one who is able to squelch opposition and to spread his message of salvation and to help every Christian pilgrim traveling from the destruction city to the celestial city, heaven. Amen? Are you on the way this morning? Are you headed towards the celestial city? Certainly, that was a blessing. God had overruled the opposition to John Bunyan to spread the gospel and encourage Christian pilgrims living for God in a world of opposition. Opposition is often God's means of propagating his truth, testing his saints. We may go through testing, we may go through trials, but God is in it. And proving nothing can stop his power and his plan. May we commit to speaking to the Lord in prayer, exalting the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May we submit to the Spirit's control and trust our wise Father's care as we present the Savior to a lost world. Though suffering may be accompanied by the believer's pathway, you may be certain nothing will stop the fulfillment of God's plan. And until God's plan is fulfilled in our lives and completed in this world, I believe we need to make Berean Baptist Church a center of prayer. Folks, this is why we have a church. It's to pray. This is one of the important things. It is our communication with God. And when we communicate with Him, God will work out His plan for His glory. Heavenly Father, we know that you are a great God and that you do care for us, that you are eternal and that you are not temporal. We are thankful that your Son is also the only Savior and the supreme judge and, Father, the sovereign ruler of this universe. We thank you for the Spirit of God who can calm our hearts and remind us that we are not alone and can also give us the boldness we need and the words to speak at the right time. Oh, Father, I'm just so thankful for the opportunity you gave me this last week to do that with a needy soul. Oh, God, I pray that you might use your word, and may we be filled with your word in our prayers and in our witness, that we might see you do a mighty work, not because of us, but because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.